This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
I'm going to start a series of teachings on this. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11 verse 25. Let's read verse 24 and 25. Someone read those for us, please. I'll go to Numbers 27. Let's read from verse 12 to verse 20. And I'm going to give several passages of scriptures. Now, if you go to Joshua chapter 24, verse 31, can someone else read that? 24, verse 31. Joshua. Okay. What am I trying to share with all these passages? In that passage, in the two passages in Numbers, is that when God wanted to pick people to lead his flock, to lead his people, it was necessary that the Spirit would come upon them. So God brought the 70 elders and he put the Holy Spirit upon them. When Joshua was to take over from Moses, God said, put your hand, lay your hands upon him and give him some of the authority that is upon you. You can say that he prayed that the Spirit of God that rested upon Moses would also come and rest upon Joshua. And the result of that was what? The Bible says in that passage in Joshua that the people served God throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who had experienced what God had done for them. Those who had had an experience with the Holy Spirit, so long as there were people who had had an experience with the Holy Spirit, so long as there were people upon whom the Holy Spirit came down, the people walked with God. The people walked with the Lord because in their midst, there were people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have heard, we shared that a few months ago, that during that episode where 70 elders are brought to Moses and Moses prays for them and the Holy Spirit comes upon the 70 elders and there were two in the camp that started prophesying and Joshua was jealous and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. And Moses told Joshua, are you jealous for me? I wish all the people of God would have the Holy Spirit upon them and prophesy. That was Moses' wish. And in the Old Testament, that could not happen to everyone. But in the New Testament, it can. The wish that Moses had, the wish of Moses, that the Spirit of God will come upon all his people and that they would all prophesy, that wish of Moses is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came, and the Bible says in Joel, that promise that on the last day I will pour out my Spirit upon my servant, young, old, and so on, they will prophesy. That was the wish of Moses. Moses desired that he would not be the only person who hears from God. He wanted not to be the only person who has a monopoly on, he didn't want to be a person who had a monopoly on the on on a on a rich relationship with God. He wanted the Spirit to come upon all the people of God. And that wish was fulfilled, as can be fulfilled in the New Testament. Now, the other thing that you see here is that, as I mentioned, the elders and Joshua, because they had the Holy Spirit upon them, were able to influence the people. The people walked with God. The people walked with God, and they were able, and once that generation died off, there was no one else upon whom the Spirit of God rested. So what happened? The people strayed from God. And there you have the episode of the book of Judges. The book of Judges is essentially a book where you see what happens each time where there is no one who has the Holy Spirit upon them in the midst of God's people. They backslid. They turned to idols. They began to do all sorts of things that they did not do. Even in the days of Moses, when they were rebellious, they didn't do some of the things that they started doing later. The restraint of the Holy Spirit was there because in the midst of the people, there was someone who had the Holy Spirit, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. There were people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that acted as a restraint against sin. It acted as a channel by which the people of God were blessed. And they were going from victory to victory, conquering land and so on. But once that generation died off, it was not long before they all started falling away. Now today we face a very similar situation in that one of the things that you... I'm going to show it to you from Scripture. As I said, I have many passages that I'm going to read. When you start the book of Joshua, you see, the book of Judges, rather, you see that I'm gonna read it to you. Judges chapter 2 from verse 6. If you have your Bible, please turn there. Judges chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 6. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnah-Eres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gehash. After the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. What happens? How does backsliding happen? Why does a generation backslide? Why do people turn away from God? Why do people fall into sin? This is the answer here in verse 10. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who had an experience with God. Verse 10, then, after the whole generation had been gathered to their father, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelite did evil in the eyes of the Lord. We often blame people. We say, well, look at all these young people. They're all into partying, as into drugs and into marijuana and into all these things. And we blame them and we want to beat them over the head. And we want to say, look, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Stop that. Can't you see this is wrong? How can you see that you cannot see? Walking with God, walking in holiness is a result. Is a result of people knowing the God that they obey. You cannot ask people to obey someone and to live according to the word of someone they don't know. And in this particular case, I don't have any children, and I haven't raised any child, and I want to be careful when I say these things, but I can talk about me having been a child. What is it that kept me walking with God in the ungodly setting of the high school I went to? I will tell you it's not because any adult told me don't do this and don't do that. I could have gone there and done all sorts of sins that no one would ever have known or found out about. And even if they did, I would not have cared. It was knowing God. It was that somehow I had gotten to know the Lord. And that knowledge of God, that relationship with God, could continue regardless of who was looking over my shoulder and who wasn't. The question is not, why are people doing this? The question is, who do people know? Do people know the Lord? Do people know the Lord? In this church, as we're seeking to grow, to reach out to people, what is it that we want to give people? You want to give them an idea? That will not work. There are plenty of ideas out there. What we should give people is a person. Give them God. Give them a relationship with God. Give them a knowledge of God. So the person can say, I know God. And Jesus says in John, this is eternal life. When he was praying, he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God. When you see people are coming to church, but they're struggling to walk with God, they're dragging their feet, they're going back to their parties and to all these other kind of things, and they're having problems walking with God, obeying God. The question is, have they really known God, or are they just trying to fit into a religious system? Have they really encountered the Lord, or are they just trying to fit into a religious system? If you try to make people fit into a religious system, you will get some, but it will not last. The day you're not there, they'll fall back into sin. When they're not in the settings of the church, when they go out to college or they move to another part of the country, they get a job somewhere and so on, they'll backslide. But in this case, no, people knew God. And so Paul could say, he could face persecution, he could face all sorts of things and all sorts of difficulties, but he said why he could endure those. He said, because I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. He knew God, and that created a persuasion in him. He knew God, and therefore he was persuaded. When you have a generation, it can be a generation of a country or a generation of Christians who don't know God, it's problematic. The answer, the effect will be what you see in verse 11. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baal. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of Egypt, and they followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. Now, just because they didn't know God didn't excuse them from disobedience. God still judged them. Somehow, the previous generation had not communicated to them, had not communicated to this new generation the walk with God that they had. They walk with God, that was good. But then they did not make sure that those who came after them knew God in the way that they did. And by so doing, they really cheated out their generation. I read to you the passage in Numbers where God said to Moses, because you disobeyed, you will not enter the promised land. You are going to die right now. What did Moses do in that passage? You remember? What was his response? Did he cry and say, oh, no, please, I'm sorry, God, don't do this to me? What was his response? You remember reading that passage? I'll give you the answer. Moses said, may the Lord God, he prayed, and he said, may the Lord, the God of all spirits, choose a man who will go before his people and will lead them in and out. He was no less concerned about the way he was ending. He was more concerned about the people of God, that they would have someone on whom the Spirit of God will rest and who will lead them. And God said, yes, take Joshua, put your hand upon him, put your authority over him. And he did that. And so that served the people well for the lifetime of Joshua. But then when Joshua came to the end of his life, he did not do that. He said, choose you today what you shall do, whether you will serve the Lord or the Baals. As for me, my family and I, we will serve the Lord. Have you seen that passage? Have you remember that? You remember that verse? People often put it in their houses. As for me, my household and I, we will serve the Lord. That was actually a bad thing to say. What he should have said is, Lord, provide somebody who will have the Spirit of God upon him and will have other people who have the Spirit of God upon them so that these people will continue to walk with God. Instead of doing that, he said, you choose today who you will serve, either God now. And obviously, they chose to serve the Baals, and they did not choose to serve the Lord God. They turned away from God. You don't say to people, now go ahead, you choose whether you're going to walk with God or not. No, you say, Lord, get these people to enter into the same relationship with God that I have. Put your Spirit upon me and put the Holy Spirit upon all your people as you promised, so that your people will walk with you. And so he didn't do that. He lost the vision and he reduced it to, yeah, my family and I, we're going to try to serve the Lord for the rest of you. I'll go ahead and do what you want. And that was a bad thing. The result of it was this: a generation that did not know God, a generation that turned away from God and did evil. Now, does that sound like the generation we have today? Does that sound like the generation we have today? It does. Almost everyone that I know is moving in with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and they're having premarital sex, and it's normal. It's normal. It's what everyone, we have a generation that doesn't know any better. And you can't blame them. You can't say, oh, well, look, that's terrible. No. And you cannot go to people like that and just tell them, okay, now just because I say so, now you change. It's not going to work like that. Somehow, we need to have people enter into a knowledge of God. We need to have people come into a relationship with God. Now, how did God restore this situation? How did God resolve this problem? Because as I read to you, the Bible says that in verse 14, in his anger, that is the anger of the Lord against Israel, the Lord handed them over to the raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies around whom they were no longer able to resist. They lost God and they began to lose their battles. They began to lose their battles. They began to lose their fights. God handed them over to the raiders who began to rob them. The raiders, people who began to come and steal what they had. And we have that today. The devil is stealing things from our society. He's stealing things from Christians. He's stealing marriages. People are divorcing like crazy. The divorce rate in the church is higher than what is outside the church. And this has been found by surveys after survey after surveys. The divorce rate in the church is higher than it is among those who don't claim to be Christian. And by Christian, did not include Catholics, those who call themselves evangelical, born-again believers. And that's shocking. You have the raiders that the enemy has come and stolen things. I was saying this on Friday. I read an article that said that suicides have now exceeded car accidents in the U.S. as a cause of death. It's the major cause of death now. It's passed, especially among middle-aged people. It's increased so much in that category that it has pushed the overall number above the number of people who die of motor accident. That's really shocking, and people are trying to understand what is it. I can tell you the reason is it's a result of a generation that doesn't know God, and that has now been and has turned away from God, and as a result, in turn, when people turn away from God, God hands them over to what they want. If you turn away from God, you want to serve the devil, God will say, okay, have the devil as your master. And what you have now is a society that the devil is over, increasingly taking over. And stealing peace, stealing joy, stealing purity, stealing all sorts of things from the people of God. And after some time, the rest of this chapter 2 goes into the rest of this chapter goes into all the difficulties they were having, and goes on. So if you go to chapter 3, verse 7, how did God resolve this situation? How did God resolve this? Judges chapter 3, verse 7. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Therefore, God, the Lord their God, and served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of the Cushan of the sold them into the hands of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. What was God's solution to the problem? How did God resolve the problem? He sent them a man. Verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Spirit of God came upon Othniel, and that enabled him to go to war and take back what the enemy had stolen from God's people and defeat that enemy. And the land had peace. The answer that God has is a spirit-filled man or spirit-filled woman. The answer that God has for your life: do you have battles in your life? Do you have battles in your life? The result, the response that God has for you is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and enable you to wage the battle and win. Do you have, is your family being raided by the enemy? Is there a spiritual death in your family? What is God's answer is that in that family there will be someone upon whom the Spirit of God will come and who will pray and bring God's peace into that home. What is God's answer to our city? What is God's answer to our generation? It is men, women, boy, girls who will be filled with the Holy Spirit, upon whom the Spirit of God will come. Listen, this is Old Testament. But you can see that God hasn't changed. God has not changed. This is still the way that he acts. There is a very big lesson that we must all learn, and that I have not said here very often, but that you must know. There is always In order to accomplish something, there is a goal, and then there is a method, and then there is a price that you pay for it. There's a goal, there's a method, and then there is a price that you pay. And God has a goal. Whenever God has a goal, do you know what His method always is? What is God's method? Who knows that? What is God's method for accomplishing anything? God's method is man. God's method is finding a person that He can use. We spend so much time trying to find methods. How can we win the lost? Let's have watermelon eating competition. Let's do all these things. We're looking for the right method. God looks for the right person. He looks for the right man. People look for methods. God has His method. His method is you. His method is me. His method is people. Men, women, boy, girls, who will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the coming weeks, I'm going to continue this, and you'll see the pattern that is set here. Whenever there's a problem, God resolves it by sending a man, Spirit-filled man. Now, the question is, what do we do? How did this come about? How did this man come? What did they do so that God would pour the Spirit of God upon them? The Bible says in verse 9, when they cried out to the Lord, He raised for them a deliverer. When they cried out to the Lord, it has to begin with a cry. It has to begin with a cry where somebody says, enough. Lord, we've been, the enemy is making sports of us too much. We've been barren for too long. The enemy has mocked us for too long. The enemy is destroying our generation for too long. Enough, Lord. Do something. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. And then God will respond to that and will pour out His Holy Spirit. And not just on one person, but as the Bible said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. My people, men, women, boy, girls, will prophesy. God will do that. And that is God's answer today. Listen, if we had 12 people here, filled with the Holy Spirit, even if we just had 3 people or 4 people, filled with the Holy Spirit, it would turn this place upside down. People who were truly, truly Spirit-filled, it will change things. Look at what one man did. One man. One person who was filled with the Holy Spirit and was able to go to war with the people of God with him. But his being filled with the Holy Spirit enabled him to go to war and overcome the enemy of the people. God delivered them into his hand. And the land had peace for 40 years. Until he died. Then they landed and had the same problem again. Again, they found themselves without a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. So they went back. The Bible says in verse 10, once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord after Othniel died. What we need is that we need to turn to God, cry out to Him for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. That is God's method. That is God's answer for us. Amen.